Well, good morning. We are glad we can be in God's presence again for worship, and good to see each one of you. And for those who may be online with us, we thank God for that. And especially for moms here today, we just thank God for you. Well, this is Mother's Day, and we wish all of God's best for you as moms on this special day of recognition and gratitude for all you do in your God-given role within your family in so many different ways as you take on the task of motherhood within your home and for the good of your family. The Bible speaks very clearly on honoring one's parents in their God-ordained roles that he has given. This morning we're going to be focusing on moms that model faith. And by the way, if you still have your mom, you are blessed. And make sure you honor her today and thank her in a God-pleasing way for her many areas of love and labors. For some of us, maybe many of us, our mothers are no longer with us, yet we certainly honor their memories and their lives and their devotion, their loving labors, and how they served their and blessed their families. Well, various positions of responsibility in life come with a job description, and I ran across this one description of the role of being a mother within the home. So let me just read aspects of this job description regarding motherhood. But first of all, let's just pray again, ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, on this special day. We thank you, Lord, for the moms and, Lord, the grandmothers that have blessed so many. Bless their hearts today. We thank you, Lord, for your design and your creation and your goodness. And again, use your word today in hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the position of a mother, and I run across this fact sheet here in regards to certain positions of motherhood. So, the position, that of a mother, job description: long-term team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends, and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping areas on rainy weekends, endless sports tournaments in faraway places, travel expenses not reimbursed, extensive courier duties also required. Responsibilities the rest of your life. Must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $5. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Also possess the physical stamina of a pack mule. Be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat, in case the screams from the backyard are not something just crying wolf. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges, such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Must handle assembly and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys, battery-operated devices. Must always hope for the best but be prepared for the worst. Must assume a final complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. Possibility for advancement and promotion: virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience: none required, unfortunately. On-the-job training offered on a continually exhausting basis. Wages and compensation: get this, you pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them everything that's left. The oddest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and wish you can only do more. Benefits. While no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, no stock options, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life if you play your cards right. So, mamas, for all you do, thank you. Wayne Mack, in his book, Your Family, God's Way, makes reference to Psalm 128:3, where God calls a wife and mother a fruitful vine, one productive to bear spiritual fruit for God. More concerned with being what God wants her to be in her role as a godly mom, as a God-created and God-centered person with a growing relationship with God. Family-oriented, one of the highest priorities of her life within her growing relationship with the Lord. So with this morning, on this Mother's Day, by way of motivation, I want to share two things with mums today, and the seed sorts of these things come from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I called her remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So Paul here traces Timothy's spiritual heritage back to his grandmother and mother. They both had come to faith prior to Timothy and were both crucial in Timothy's salvation and spiritual growth. And we can mark this down. We cannot overestimate the values and immense influence of a godly home upon a life within it. And sadly, within our land today, with this rejection of God, how sad is it that in so many homes there is no fear of God or genuine faith or spiritual guidance to walk in God's ways and to be fruitful in those ways that please the Lord. So from this text, first of all, as a Christian mom, first of all, you have the great privilege to live an ongoing demonstration and sharing of a living faith to those in your home. Paul was thankful Timothy saw a genuine faith and had the truth of God from his grandmother and mother, which influenced and changed Timothy's life. These two Christian women had more than a surface thing. Within them was the internal, factual, and dwelling faith that only comes through being spiritually regenerated by the Spirit of God, born again through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here in this passage, the Bible uses this word indwelling of the Holy Spirit within. This word is used in other places in the Bible of the Word of God within, Colossians 3:16, and even of sin within in Romans 7:17. But here in 2 Timothy 3:5 is the indwelling of genuine faith in Jesus Christ as God and Savior. And the fact is, mothers cannot fulfill adequately all the responsibilities of motherhood without a living, indwelling faith. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth knowledge." And certainly, parental guidance needs that. Women of faith have the privilege and responsibility to demonstrate their faith within the present world that is flying apart at the seams, with the collapse of moral values and the laws of God, and families in moral disarray. Sadly, following the deceitful counsels of the wicked, not the wisdom of God these days. But a godly mom can give a walking, living demonstration of a genuine indwelling faith in Christ, and how that interplays with every aspect of life. You know, I was thinking about mothers and faith and godliness. And when I think of such a godly mom, mature in all aspects of faith and conduct within her family, and with total respect for every mom here, I was just reflecting back upon the mothers and women that I had known throughout my ministry. And my mind went to one particular seasoned godly mom who in all aspects in my mind is a super mom, as I have known her for many, many years and seen her in so many, many difficult life situations, and have just seen her godly wisdom over the years and how she has blessed her family and so many ministries that she's had. And I was thinking about her, and I just asked Margaret, hey, you know, I have this on my mind, who is this great example of a super mom? And I threw out that name, and she agreed, yeah, she is awesome in all facets of that. You know, the Apostle Paul here in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 talks about the priorities of a godly woman in aspects of demonstrating their faith. And he writes, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Paul here is giving his desire, his will as an apostle, writing the commands of God. And Paul desires that godly women demonstrate their faith in certain ways. First of all, for example, a Christian mom will adorn herself with a Christ-like morality. Christian moms will put before their children, the church and society, what are the true values of life, and teach by their conduct what are godly attitudes and behavior, what is right, what's important to God. The scriptures speak of an adorning, and here it's the adorning of a life, one fitted and furnished with proper things of modesty and morality. Paul uses the term cosmeo here. It was used of houses being decorated, of temples adorned with beautiful stones, or of a tree adorned with fruit. But here it's talking about how a Christian mom can adorn her life with the inner beauty of walking in line with God's values and showing by her dress, by her deportment, by her demeanor, a living faith. And those aspects of that, and the self-control and good sense and proper modesty of a living faith. By the way, it was apparently a cultural thing in those early days when Paul was living that some ladies in Paul's day, they would dress extravagantly, they would go to extremes to be showy. They would display wealth. They would try to draw attention to themselves with some prideful display, being outwardly fleshly without regard for good moral taste. You know, maybe in our day it's like, you know, some of these Hollywood award functions where modesty isn't even a thought. It's all a show-off, draw attention, one-upmanship, a worldly mindset, raw carnality, and all that. By the way, the Bible doesn't forbid the wearing of jewelry or cosmetics in good taste. I think it was years ago Bob Jones once said, hey, if the house needs painting, paint it. Yet women of faith place their priorities on inner beauty and spiritual character and desire to walk and please the Lord. That is to say, a Christian mom is not influenced by cultural fads, but it's focused on growing in a godly walk that is fitting to faith in Christ. It's not flashing gold everywhere, but focusing on godliness. It's not clothes that make the person, but that godly character of the person. And we see that in 1 Peter 3, 4. God says he's concerned with a hidden person of the heart, one's inner beauty, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Very precious, the Bible says, in the eyes, in the sight of God. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. One of my favorite colorful proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite colorful proverbs is Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold in a pig's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks moral discretion. Can you picture that? A ring of gold in a pig's snout. By the way, in the Old Testament times, rings of gold were worn by women in their noses as symbols of beauty, We see that in Genesis 24, 22, Ezekiel 16, 12, and other places. That was just a trend in that day, a thing of beauty. Well, Proverbs is saying here, you know, outer beauty without moral taste means nothing. And here's what God says. An attractive woman without moral character is like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. No understanding of what is precious. No amount of physical beauty can disguise and the deficiency of her inner life with a lack of moral virtue. And we could contrast that with Proverbs 11, 16, which talks of the gracious, godly woman. So contrary to that graphic proverb, a godly mom understands how important it is to demonstrate her living faith in that abundant and obedient work walk with Jesus Christ. The vanity of this world means nothing. The values of God mean everything. So a godly mom puts priority on demonstrating a living faith in obedience to Christ. And a Christian mom can show off by letting her faith shine and displaying how Jesus has made a transformation in her life. With the godly attitudes and values, the edifying conversation, the godly reactions dedicated to the Lord's work. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And I believe that's a good statement. Well, Paul continues in verse 10, he adds, "And be adorned with good works." And Paul sees a godly woman demonstrating her faith with good works and humble service. So secondly, a godly mom is a ministry type of woman. One's faith leads to service and blessing others. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul gives instructions for the care of widows. And in the early church, the early church had a widow's role where the church would support widows. And Paul here gives instructions for the care of widows. But in this passage, we see that the qualification for being on that widow's role was the fact of being a ministry type of mom. The family was to help a widow, by the way. And if not, the church would do so. But Paul says if a family didn't take care of a widow, that's being worse than an infidel unbeliever if you don't provide for your own. Yet the early church had this widow's list, but that widow's list included those who had this ministry attitude. And the Bible speaks here of the godly service of these moms or these widows, bringing up children, well known for good works, taking in strangers in need, the gift of hospitality, relieving the afflicted, showing mercy to those in need, washing the saints' feet, her kind and humble service, diligent in good works. So what this passage in 1 Timothy 5 highlights, again, is this ministering type of mom, that over the years of her life, you could look back and see the many ways that these godly Christian moms served the Lord served others in various ways. We know modern moms have a lot of different responsibilities on life's plate, yet a godly woman will find the time to be a ministering type of woman. And her good works of love and devotion to the Lord and others will be known. A ministry mom will be faithful to her family and its needs. Proverbs 31:27, she watches over the ways of her husband and does not eat the bread of idleness. At times, she'll be behind the scenes meeting the needs of others. Proverbs 30:20. In her own areas of giftedness, she will contribute to the work of the church. For example, read Romans 16 sometime and see how Paul praised the Christian women for their labors for Christ and watch care over the hurts and the pressures of others with kindness, love, and support. And Paul says in that passage, "I commend to you Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. She has been a helper of many and myself also. And Mary, who labored much for us." And he mentions others who were faithful in serving and ministering. A godly mom doesn't want attention. Her focus is on ministering and meeting needs. And the many demands of a Christian mom is not done through just human drive and human energy. Christian moms are called to be the godly management of their homes and children, along with the life pressures and responsibilities. Something in someone beyond their own energy level is needed. So, thirdly, Christian moms must aim at maintaining a growing, consistent relationship with Christ and the strength of God to fulfill their ministry in their home. Must be maintaining a growing, consistent relationship with God. And Christian moms, you know you can't demonstrate a biblical truth or function well without maintaining your own spiritual life and walk with God. Many years ago, I picked up an old drill that had not been recharged for so long. So I took it out, tried to use it stupidly without doing anything with it. It just gave a grunt and stopped. It couldn't do its job because it needed to be, obviously, recharged. And even a deeply devoted, embedded, genuine faith needs to be recharged in the presence of God in His Word, in communion with God in prayer. And I realize that modern moms, you're busier than ever. Your lives are on screech. But yet, as Christians, if we neglect the maintenance of our own spiritual walk, we'll end up going through the motions without the vitality of a recharged relationship with our God. So, moms, I'm saying make it a priority to have an appointment time regularly with God and refresh your soul with worship, feed on His Word, pour out your heart before Him, let Him speak to you, to minister your soul, and just to recharge you in the ways of God. We all know the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, 38 through 42. You know that Mary had it right, and Jesus confirmed that. Yet Martha's life was on screech. She was coming apart with go, go, go. Doesn't anybody care? Man, I'm overwhelmed. Look at all I'm doing. Mary doesn't seem to be doing anything. She doesn't care. You care, don't you, Lord, and so forth. No one cares. And Jesus says, hey, whoa, Martha. Martha, you are worried, you are troubled. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good thing that will not be taken from her. Luke 10, 39. What was that? Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing His words, being recharged through fellowship with Christ and the truth of Christ. So, moms, before you snap from being stretched from going in 100 directions, take the time to sit at Jesus' feet and be refreshed, and let God empower you that you might live your life strengthened, be a blessing to those you serve. The Martha complex isn't good. I ran across this Mother's Day, a Mother's Prayer by Angela Thomas Guffey. And this is a Christian mom who wrote this prayer. I'd like to read that to you. Holiness seems so far from me, and yet it's truly the desire of my heart. I long for intimacy. I long to know You. I want my whole life to reflect Your presence and Your power. I want to live astounded by Your grace and Your glory. And yet, God, it's just me, fragile, sinful me. Come and make me Yours. Heal my wounds. Forgive my sins again. Give new words to my prayers. Restore my yearning for truth. Feed me with Your insight and wisdom. Cover me with Your lavish love. Lord, I want this man, my husband, and these children to live in the blessings of a spiritually healthy woman. Lord, let me be that woman. Remove the distractions that keep me from godliness. Step into the blur of my life rushing by and speak stillness within my soul. Hold me close and care for me. In these years of mothering, let me choose to surrender the place of my soul for Your safekeeping. Whisper to my heart and give direction to my steps. Shout to me from your vastness and add wisdom to my words. Let me love and celebrate life from the full cup of your grace and peace. Thank you, my Savior, my keeper, my friend, for the tender mercy that comes and fills my soul. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Mom, is this your prayer? To have that intimacy with God, to be a spiritually healthy woman that reflects the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get supercharged by being alone with the Lord, and then let go forth with faith and demonstrate your living faith. Now, quickly, there's something else Lois and Eunice did that all godly mothers must do. We see that in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Secondly, a godly mom delivers the word of God to their own children. Obviously, Timothy was blessed because from an infant he had known the Holy Scriptures. In a Jewish home, the fifth year of a child, the parents would teach them the laws of God. And Timothy was blessed because from an infant he had known the Holy Scriptures, the very words of God for life, able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Paul says, Timothy, you learned. Your mother discipled you in the truths of God, his plan for your life, his principles for life. Timothy, you learned the Scriptures. Paul says, Timothy, you trusted. You were established in the good word of God. You were assured of the truth of God through the Holy Scriptures, that God is true, that Jesus is true, his word is true. So Timothy was the third generation that had a genuine living faith in Christ. First in Lois, second in Eunice, now in Timothy. Some time ago, I read there's a church in Kansas where there are prints of two baby feet in the concrete sidewalk pointing towards the church. And obviously, when the wet concrete was being poured, a mother wanted to illustrate that she wanted her child and others to start moving towards the truth of God. Footprints towards the truth of God. And I assume those prints are still there today. A young child moving towards the truth of God. You know, moms, replicating your living faith through your offspring is as important as motherhood gets. The word of God learned, embedded in a young life through a mother who cares for the eternal welfare of their child, knowing God, living for him, that's where it's at. And listen, moms, it doesn't matter if young Hubert gets thrown out at second base at a Little League game. He's probably not going to make it to the pros anyway. Let him have fun and just go at it. It doesn't matter if he can't hit a lick or could catch a fly ball in the bushel basket. Just let him have fun. And it doesn't matter if Sally doesn't have the same type of jacket that the rich kid has. Because warm is warm. And it's not about wealth, it's not about brag. It doesn't matter, Mom, if you can't attend every school function. But what does matter is that your sons and daughters see Christ in you and that you lay down a godly foundation so they can grow up knowing Jesus as their God and Savior and love him, obey him, because that foundation was laid down in the home with the fruit of faith and obedience to the living God, evidenced in you, in your home. If you give them everything and ignore their spiritual foundation, what do they have of eternal value? So moms, don't break the wisdom chain. And I go to Proverbs 4 for a second. Proverbs 4 speaks of a parent telling his children, I give you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. I was taught when I was my father's son, the only one of my mother. Get wisdom, get understanding. That's what matters. And I know that's talking about Solomon speaking of his father David. It applies to mom. Don't break the wisdom chain, but continue to teach the things of God. And obviously we know this wicked world is corrupting the hearts of our children with raw paganism and off-the-wall crazy stuff these days. And moms, you aren't alone. You don't have to do it all. In fact, let me say this. If you do nothing, God is able to reach a life and pull a child to himself. I know that because I'm Exhibit A. I had zero spiritual education in my home. No biblical education whatsoever. And as a young child growing up, as a young teen, I mocked the holy things of God. I mocked Christians. I could care less about anything spiritual. I had zero religious education. But you know what? By the grace of God, he reached me anyway. I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. And besides that, he placed godly people around me that could help me grow in Christ. Now, by saying that, moms, I'm not letting you off the hook. That doesn't mean, moms, you get a free pass. Because God has planned and purposed that a Christian mom is used mightily in her home to establish her children in the truth of God. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:15, ladies, you want a ministry? Well, God's role is that you rear your children in such a way that they continue in the faith, they continue in love, they continue in holiness and self-control, and are wise in the ways of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, grandmothers come into this spiritual legacy as well, 2 Timothy 1:5. This is the Lois legacy, passing on faith. And if you've had a godly grandmother, man, you've been blessed. Yes, the family is under attack. Moms, be God's woman. Model your faith. Adorn your life with the Word of God. Deliver your faith to your children. Make sure your home is a place where the things of God are the foundation stones, where the fruits of young lives will exhibit true faith in Christ. And moms, you know the hearts of your children are not neutral. Their heart will either have a Godward orientation or the idols of the heart in this world will pull them away from the things of God. A child will either worship and grow and serve the living God or gravitate to the idols and lies of this world, so they need that spiritual guide to help them in the things of God. We all know Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, I'm sure. God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You are saturating a young life with the truths of God, and pressing upon them the commands of God. And I realize, moms, you aren't the only one in your house, obviously, responsible for the lives of your children. But before God, be that Christian woman who fears him and imparts a godly heritage to those of your household. There's no greater responsibility or ministry than being a dedicated Christian mother. And God bless you for your God-given ministry. Now, in Proverbs 31, we didn't read that whole section of Proverbs 31 there, but the queen mother gives instructions to her son, King Lemuel, that he is to judge righteously and take up the rights of the afflicted and needs of people and be an agent of righteousness. By the way, our leaders today could certainly learn from that passage, that's for sure. And as you know, in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, which is a Hebrew acrostic poem using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and they did that as a memory aid, I think, memory device, to speak of the moral excellencies and virtues of a godly woman, a wife and mother. Her children and husband, community, see such a godly woman for who she is and what she does, and her excellency in her fear of the Lord. And let her labors be praised, the Bible says, before the people, with God receiving the glory. So this morning, to all of you as wives and moms, let me say this for all of us. We appreciate you. We continually pray for you in your ministry. We want to encourage you. We certainly thank God for you as you make Christ the center of your life and your household. So, moms, this is your day. Enjoy it. And be willing to be spoiled a bit. You deserve it. And again, if you still have your mom, you are blessed. Thank God for her and what she means to you. Proverbs 1:8 says this, "Do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." A mother's instructions leads to life and to benefits. And again, if your mother has passed or the one who brought you up has passed, remember their love and devotion and how they blessed your life and give thanks to God for them. Oh, by the way, the state of Maine has announced that this Mother's Day is Free Fishing Day. So, moms, you can put on your hip waders and some fly dope and go out into the alders and by some brook with the ticks and flies and enjoy a great afternoon. And bring some brook trout home for the family, because Proverbs 31:15 says you're providing food for your household. That was a little bit tongue-in-cheek if you didn't get that, okay? On the other hand, you may have other plans for today. And hopefully Dad and the children have some other plans for the day. They don't go looking for the waiters and that kind of thing. But again, moms, thank you for all you do. You are appreciated. And may God bless you in your God-ordained role of being the leader and helper in your home along with the husband. So, moms, bless you today. Thank you for all you do. And may God bless you in many ways.